from San Francisco, California. This is the Rock and Roll Geek Show.
This is the story of my rock and roll butler.
Welcome to the Rock and Roll Geek Show. My name is Michael Butler. Thanks a lot for joining me. I really appreciate it. Today is Saturday, August 22nd, 2020, and it's 5:32 p.m. when I'm recording this. I'm going to take a sip of my third beer of the day. I went out and had lunch. Oh, wait, hold on. Let me take a sip. This is a Longboard Island Lager. Met up with Chiaki and his wife for lunch today. First time I've seen Chiaki in probably 5 months. Oh, man, it felt good to go out and eat with some friends. We went to a brewery in Pacifica, and there's outdoor seating only. We got there early. It's a good thing because there was a huge line, but it was nice to sit down, even if it was bar food, you know, burgers. I had some wings and fries and some beers. It felt really good to sit down with my friend and have some good conversation and drink some beers and have some food. Boy, that was very nice. Well, I had two Bitburger ales, or at least that's what they claimed it was. It looked a little cloudy to be Bitburger to me, but it was good nonetheless. What I do when I go to a brewery, usually because I can't really handle the strong-tasting beer, I will bring one of the Yeti knockoffs, and I'll put some ice in it. I know that's pussyfied, I know, but that's what I do. I bring a Yeti knockoff, fill it with ice, and then when they give me, because when they bring it in the glass, you're outside, you got to drink it or else fast or else it's going to get cold. Well, you take it and you pour it on the ice in the Yeti knockoff. It not only weakens the beer a little bit, but it really doesn't even do that because the ice doesn't really melt in the Yeti knock and you know in the double insulated vacuum sealed tumbler. But it keeps it really cold, and if it does melt anything, it thins out the hard taste of the beer. So that's my tech tip for going to a brewery if you're worrying about your beer getting cold fast and you can't. And you can't get a can for your koozie or whatever. Yeah, it was a nice lunch. My kayak is all loaded up, and I'm ready to go fishing tomorrow. I think I'm going to probably go to Half Moon Bay again. The salmon are at Bolinas, is what I heard. They're really close in Bolinas, but it's a surf launch, which means you got to launch your kayak from the beach, and it's calling for 3 to 5 foot waves. 3 to 5 foot surf. That place is very sketchy on 1 to 2 foot surf. So on 3 to 5, nah, I ain't gonna try it. So I'm gonna try Half Moon Bay. I'm not sure if there's salmon there, but I will at least fish on the reef and see if I can catch a couple of rockfish. You know, it'll be nice to get in the water at least anyway. All right, I got another concert review. This one is from Jen Ursus.
Maybe through that.
Back it up here. Okay. Hello.
Hey, Butler. It's Paul from Maryland.
Hey, Paul.
Also known as Jen Ursus, hey, on the Mad at Dad show.
Yes.
With my first call.
He's there every week in the live stream, in the chat room. I see Jen Ursus there.
All in. I have been listening to your show.
Long time, first time. Let me back it up a little bit.
Joe, with my first call in, I have been listening to your show, 15 years maybe,
oh,
2005,
thanks,
2006.
It's back in the old days.
So, congratulations on your 1,000th show.
Thank you.
It's a huge milestone.
Eh.
And, you should be very proud of it. I know you were talking about quitting recently, but I don't think, have any idea of the impact that you have on people's lives. Like myself, I'm just a huge rock fan, big music geek. I do listen to podcasts. Yours is by far the best. I know you don't believe that, but I'm telling you that it is true. I listen to... God, I'll try any podcast if it has a subject that I'm interested in. And yours is by far the best.
Well, thank you, Brent.
And
I really appreciate it.
You know,
very
there's
nice
something, I think it's like, you know, how Stern fans are hooked on Howard. They get involved in the show with Baba Booey and Robin and all the side people, and you kind of become like a family a little bit. And you have created that for your little family there. We all seem to know each other, and
yes, the Rock and Roll Geek Facebook group, which I did not create, but I do approve. People just got to answer two questions so that I know you're not somebody from the DNC trying to, or from the Republican National whatever, trying to hijack the post office. All right.
Thankfully, I've been.
Yeah. Anyway, everybody on the Facebook group has become kind of like a family. Richard Fusey, Joe Pollack, Michael Street. Sandy High, everybody on there, all 400 and something members. Back to you, Generosus.
Part of that too, and join that, and it all seems to happen naturally too, which is even more amazing. The Generosus thing started because you guys were doing the Mad at Dad and used Twitch, which I actually didn't use that app ever. But, so I don't know if my kids had logged in as Generosus, or maybe I did. I am a Planet of the Apes fan, so maybe I had used that at one point, and, when I logged in and was chatting with you and Slusher one time, you called me Generosus, and I realized that, it does not say Paul from Maryland on here, and, I kind of rode with it for a while. And,
is Generosus the old ape on Planet of the Apes, the gray-haired guy? I think it is. Those first two, three Planet of the Apes movies from the 70s, quality cinema, friends.
It worked out pretty good. So I know when you guys see Generosus make a comment on there, that it probably let you know that a member of the family is in the group. So
I appreciate
I'll keep using that. It's worked out well, but it's been a good 15 years. Do not stop making podcasts. You do have an impact on.
I'm sure there's a million
people like myself.
Not a million.
Little Generosus out there that don't comment or don't.
Although I did get a message from Jenny Way today, saying that she's been getting messages from what seems like all over the world about her appearance on my little podcast. So that was nice to hear.
Don't call in, and they just enjoy the show, and hopefully they will contribute.
Are you outside? Are those crickets out there, Generosus? Or is that a traveling squirrel from the Phil Hendry show?
Maybe make a donation every once in a while, or call Eddie Trunk and get on there. I have to do that for you again.
Thank
it's been
you,
too
you.
Long. I did that.
Yes, that was
famous,
good.
AC/DC call.
That was excellent. Most excellent.
Was. Now it's been a few years, but you know, I don't listen to Eddie Trunk.
He referred to me as some guy in California.
Much anymore. He is a very annoying and difficult to listen to. His show was actually better when he was on, I think he was on Hair Nation, but it might have been on the Boneyard.
I think he
where
still
he actually
is.
Played music.
He still does that on Mondays.
Gave us little spiels because it just wasn't as.
Well, he's got my dream job, friend. I would love to have his job. So he does his job well. I mean, he can take what I would normally talk 30 seconds on. He can go 15 minutes on a 30-second piece of information. So,
grading. It's just, he is literally, he brings himself up as the greatest broadcaster in rock and roll. Seems to be not just daily, but a few times a day. And if he gets a guest on, forget about it. He's going to let you know how he's good buddies with Lars Ulrich.
Text him.
You know, he knows the guys in Def Leppard so well, and it's just amazing. Quick story about Eddie Trunk. I actually know him. I grew up in North Jersey, and Eddie Trunk was the kid, literally, who saved me Kerrang magazines behind the counter.
Oh, that's
because,
nice.
Because he worked at a store called Albuquerque Records in Marstown, New Jersey. This is in the early 80s. And Eddie Trunk was the kid behind the counter. So I would call, and he's got to be 5, 6, 7 years older than me. I'm calling him a kid, but we were all young back then. He would.
I think he's like 54.
Ask him to save me Kerrang! Because I didn't even have a car. I think my mom used to drive me to the record store and whenever she could, and I would pick up those Kerrangs and thank Eddie for saving them for me. But
no problem, man.
His legend has grown in his own mind. More than reality.
He's making a living, talking about rock and roll.
As he was, he did have a show on the local station there in Jersey, WDHA. And he did have a Friday metal show that we did listen to as kids. But that was about it. I mean, he was just spinning records. He goes on to talk about how he pretty much invented Metallica and created their whole East Coast fame. And that couldn't be more further from the truth. I don't think, I know he was not a DJ in 1983 when Kill 'Em All came out.
He said they invited him to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, didn't they?
I don't know where that story comes from. But
boy, that traveling squirrel's getting loud, Jen Ursus.
Anyway, we won't pick on him too much. I called in to do a show review, so let's do it. I've seen hundreds and hundreds of shows. I am a music nerd. I will see any big show that comes around. Within 60 to 100 miles of where I'm living, and I don't think there's a big show I haven't seen. But amazingly, my first show was not Kiss. It should have been Kiss, but I could not get tickets to the Kiss show.
My first show was, I've said this before, my first show that I went to was David by my without a grown-up. I'm pretty sure it was David Bowie on the Station to Station tour.
Came around. It was either the Love Gun or the Alive 2 tour, but couldn't get him, and I was a disappointed 8-year-old kid. And my mom always remembered that. So somehow my first show was Journey. That's right. That big rock band
Journey. Would
that
be the Infinity Tour?
It was 1983.
No, that was not Infinity. That would have been... Shit, that's past Separate Ways, isn't it?
1983. The opening act was Bryan Adams. The show was at the Meadowlands in East Rutherford, New Jersey. And Journey had sold out 3 nights in a row.
Wow.
And this was the last night of the three.
So that must have been captured.
I was able to get tickets to that show. And that was my first show. People, my friends. And
while you're talking, I'm going to look up what Journey album came out in 1983.
I'm always amazed when I say that Journey was the first show. But, you know, this show actually had a major impact on me as I was a guitarist and a musician at the time. And I loved music and... some things happened during the show that
Frontiers
continue to see every rock show that came around for what 40 some years later now. So let's get to it. May 7, 1983.
Yeah, I think that was Separate Ways was the hit off that, right? I believe so. Yeah, I think so.
I am using the Setlist FM. I do obviously do not remember what Journey played. 37 years ago? So luckily we have this great database here.
Let me brush up on my Stephen Piercy.
Pull from. So Bryan Adams opened. I have no idea what he played. He did. I do recall he had the big leather jacket and the white t-shirt and the jeans. And he was just a rock kid.
Oh, the tuxedo tells.
No one knew who Bryan Adams was during
Bryan Adams
time.
Yeah.
He might have had one hit.
Yeah, I think he had Take Me Back was the hit, right?
Off the brand new Cuts Like a Knife record at that time. He was not a draw in any way. So he was lucky to get that gig, I'm sure. And he did do a good job. I remember buying the album after I saw the show.
I saw Bryan Adams live, and when Take Me Back, Take Me Back, Won't You Take? I think that was his big hit. And I saw him, he opened for somebody. It was at a outdoor festival, and he was good. I liked him.
Obviously, it had an impact on me. The tune I do remember him playing was Take Me Back.
There you go, yeah.
Which... how's it go? Take me
I've
back.
I've changed my ways.
Take me back. And he would draw that out for kind
yep.
of probably
See,
8 or 9 minutes.
I saw the same tour probably.
And telling a story.
Yep, saw it,
about,
saw
you
it.
You know, girl dumping him.
And he would say, fuck you, I ain't taking you back.
13, 14-year-old kid that had been back time.
Oh, yeah.
So it was interesting, and he did a good job opening up. So then Journey came out. Let's check the set list.
All right.
So they opened up with Chain Reaction.
I don't know that one. Chain Reaction.
Surprised to see that. I don't remember them opening up with Chain Reaction.
I don't know that tune.
But that was the opening tune. Oh, I should mention that they did have... So I did go to the show with my mom, who was a rock fan
there you
at the
go.
Time. So that was cool. And I had no problems going with her. And they had literally... 20 bootleggers crowd in our car when we pulled into the Meadowlands.
Still happens now.
And I remember I bought a shirt as a baseball jersey that had the Journey Beetle landing on top of the Meadowlands. It was a homemade custom shirt from these bootleggers.
You know, back then, some of the bootleg shirts were better than the official shirts.
Oh, it cost $10. And... I just remember thinking, this is the coolest thing I've ever seen. All these guys coming around, pulling these shirts out of their coats and hiding it and trying to be real quick about it so the cops didn't get them. It was just added to the whole cool feature of being at a rock concert. And I did get a shirt. It was custom. I remember wearing that shirt to school and everyone seeing how cool it was. It's probably worth hundreds of dollars now, but I clearly do not have that shirt anymore. Anyway, so Chain Reaction was the first tune. They went into Wheel in the Sky.
Wheel in the sky keeps on turning. Oh, I don't know. Oh, oh, from tomorrow. Featherwitch plays that sometimes.
Yep, singing Butler. Come on, you know those words.
Done did, dude.
Wheel in the Sky. Then they went to Line of Fire.
Don't know that
one. Send Her My Love.
Don't know that one.
Still They Ride.
Don't know that one.
And then they went into Open Arms, which...
And so I welcome you. Yeah, this is when Journey started to suck.
Was the huge smash off of the Escape album.
Yeah.
And this is where it gets interesting. So they're playing Open Arms, and all of a sudden... You can see there's a little chaos on stage and no one knows what's going on, and Steve Perry's chewing out people in the crowd.
Steve Perry is.
And you realize that Neil Sean just got hit in the head with a bottle. Smacked right in the face.
Thanks, friends. Now that's why we can't buy bottled beer at shows, because some assholes throw the bottles at the band.
Blood is coming out of his face.
Oh boy.
And they stopped for a short while, but it wasn't very long. And in the very cool rock and roll moment there, Neil Sean, playing a Les Paul, had a tank top on.
Oh, please say he hit the guy with his guitar.
Blood's gushing out of his face, starts singing No More Lies, his solo song, Lies, No More Lies. And he's screaming and he's all angry and the blood is pouring down his shirt. You can actually see parts of this on YouTube. It was an amazing moment. It made the show for me. It probably had an impact on me seeing shows for the next 40 years. It was just a great rock and roll moment, and it's crazy. But that was literally the highlight of the show. So he played No More Lies, which was a great song, and that went into Back Talk, which
I don't know that one.
Jonathan Cain solo and a song called Rubicon, into Steve Smith solo, and then they played Escape, the title track from the last album. So clearly there is the beer and bathroom break tuned.
Yeah.
After that, they went into Faithfully, Who's Crying Now?
I'm forever yours, Faithfully, Who's Crying Now? That's not a good set to me.
Don't Stop Believing.
Don't Stop Believing. All right, now they're in the hits.
And yeah, we know all the words to all the songs, so sing them. Sing them if you know them. Don't Stop Believing is...
Just a small town boy. Living in a lonely world. Oh, yeah.
has become what, the literally the biggest rock song of all time. And I, again, I don't know how this happened. Don't Stop Believin' was, what, the second or third hit, I think, off that Escape record. Who's Crying Now, I remember being the big one. And Open Arms was huge. Don't Stop Believin' was literally...
You can thank the Sopranos for that, Genesis.
You know, like the third hit off that record. And it was a great song, but somehow Don't Stop Believin' has literally become... How did Don't Stop Believin' and Living on a Prayer become the biggest rock songs of the
80s? I don't know about Living on a Prayer, but...
How did that happen?
Sopranos made that one big.
So maybe the Sopranos thing had a huge impact on this younger generation, but Don't Stop Believin' was a good song.
Well, now they play Don't Stop Believin' at all the sports events, at least at the Giants games. They play it every Giants game, like seventh inning, Don't Stop Believin'.
It was a hit, but it was nowhere near the greatest song of all time, which weirdly has become. I went to a wedding a few years ago, and they heard Don't Stop Believin' and Living on a Prayer, and You Shook Me All Night Long. And literally, this equates rock music to a younger generation. And I was just shocked at what I was seeing. Anyway, so Don't Stop Believin' into Stone in Love.
Stone in
Love! Keep on Running.
I don't know,
Then they came out off stage, did an encore of Any Way You Want It.
Any way you want it, that's the way you need. Any way you want. Boo, do, 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 do. I was in love. I don't know the words.
Yeah, sing it. Come on.
Of kiss, of touching, squeezing things.
In Two Separate Ways.
All night. Ooh, all night. Ooh, baby, all night. Ooh, she said, any way you want. That's... All right. So if he ever hurts you, some love won't desert you. Okay, Separate Ways.
And looks like they left the stage again. Even though Neil Sean gets banged by this beer bottle, comes out for a second encore of After the Fall and Loving, Touching, Squeezing.
Loving, touching each other. Na, 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 na.
It was a good show. It's clearly not my favorite show of all time. It was a great show. It was memorable for the beer incident. It was cool. I do remember going and seeing the bootleggers, and it was a huge arena, probably 18,000 people. It did have an impact on me, so I thought I would start my first show review with the first show I ever saw.
I like that,
Generous. Journey and Bryan Adams at Meadowlands, May 7, 1983. Butler, hope you can use this review and keep the shows coming, man. We do listen. There's probably more people out there like me who never made a comment or a phone call for years and years, and then all of a sudden they start making comments. So you've created quite a family with the Rock and Roll Geek Show, and I appreciate it. I like being part of the family.
Thank you, friend.
Keep on rocking, buddy. Stay frosty.
Stay frosty. You too can leave me a show. Traveling squirrel there. Okay. You too can leave me a show review. Just call. Just record it on your phone. Do like Genesis did and look it up on Setlist FM. Try to remember the best you can. He had some pretty good memories of it. I'm sure Neil Sean would not. Neil Sean probably still tells that story too. So he probably has memories of it too. And it seems like it drove him to perform a lot better. You know, made him more pissed off. But just look on Setlist FM. Try to remember the show to the best of your ability. You'd be surprised how memories can come back sometimes when you look the show up or, I don't know, just start listening to their music or whatever. Record that on your phone. Send it to me, rockandrollgeek@gmail.com. And I need some more for these dog days. We're in day 20, I think, today. So we got still another 10 or 11 days. So thank you for listening, friends. We will see if the Lonely Kayaker makes an appearance tomorrow. I don't know. If I make it back alive, let's pray for a safe and productive fishing trip for your friend Michael Butler, because the last couple of times I got skunked. So like to come back with some fish. I'm my freezer's getting kind of empty. All right, friends, thank you for listening. I'm going to play another UFO tune. Still not sick of the UFO yet. Dave Slusher reminded me about this song. I was talking to him today, and he said he's got this song stuck in his head. So this is a previously unreleased studio track from No Heavy Petting. This is called French Kisses. Thank you for listening, friends. Rockandrollgeek.com is where you can find the show. You can find me on the Facebook, R&R Geek. There's a Facebook page, the Rock and Roll Geek Facebook page, which I did not create, but I do approve people who just got to answer two questions. So I know you're not a Russian hacker or somebody trying to rig the election. You can find me on the Twitter, R&R Geek. Find me on the Instagram, Rock and Roll Geek. Don't ask. And please keep the donations coming, friends. It's a value for value. So any value you get out of this, if you can contribute, that would be very much appreciated. That's enough ways to reach me. A long show, a regular Rock and Roll Geek show, hopefully on Monday. And we'll see what happens tomorrow. Okay, friends. Here is UFO. I'll talk to you tomorrow. I don't have the heart to fire this producer. But he's got to go. Oh, yeah. He's really got to go. This fucking guy. I think maybe that guy who produced the Democratic National Convention's available. He did a good job. Your old style still shows. French kisses, the queen of what comes after. Sweet, sweet pretender. You'd love to love us all. And in your pocket, you're taking us all for a ride. You say
the Rock and Roll Geek train wreck.